Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go.
There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Hello and a big warm welcome back to the latest episode of Swinging Through Spider-Man, a Spider-Man podcast where the hosts, me, James Rushton, and over there, Bradley Hughes, the hosts know little about the subject matter. We have never read the Amazing Spider-Man comics at all, really, but 43 issues in, I'd say our knowledge is getting a little bit better.
Since day one. Brad? Picked up little things from here and there, like the movies, the animated series. Learned a couple of things from those fake candy cigarette type things.
So I think to say we know nothing at all would be a lie, because we've read over 40 comics in the Amazing Spider-Man series. But yeah, we're still in the big picture. I guess we know nothing at all, but we're doing this for the first time, Swinging Through Spider-Man. We are on issue 43 today. I'm James, that's Brad, and we're reading through these comics for the first time. What happened last time, mate?
I can't actually remember. Truth be told. We have actually skipped a week, so apologies for that.
It was the Rhino.
It wasn't the Rhino.
It wasn't even the Rhino. It was John Jameson.
Yeah, it's Big John. It's space steroids.
Yeah, he came down from space and he was infected with stuff. It gave him gravity powers. All the while, the Rhino, a masked supervillain, was sedated after initially trying to kidnap him. I can reveal that we pick up that story again. It's a running thread. So we continue with the story of the Rhino today. And it is issue 43 by Stan Lee and not Steve. I was going to say Steve Ditko, just out of habit. Steve Ditko.
Yeah, no, it's John Romita.
Is it John Romita Sr.? Yeah, and I was going to say John Romita Jr. then.
Oh, no, rookie mistake.
I'm really, really not with it today. But we go back to the Rhino, we go back to Spider-Man, and we continue the story of Colonel John Jameson. But if you remember, at the end of the last issue, we were also introduced to an incredibly famous person, you know, arguably probably just as famous as Spider-Man.
Well, in the character. You don't think about Spider-Man without thinking about Venom, Green Goblin, and sweet, sweet Mary Jane.
MJ, of course you don't. You know, everyone knows who Mary Jane Watson is and her relationship to Spider-Man. But we have just met her for the first time after she's been in the story for about 20 issues. We've never seen a face or a personality. Well, we do know her personality has always been brazen, cocky, outspoken, cool. Confident, and we know that she's beautiful.
Everything that Peter Parker's not.
I don't know. I think Peter Parker is that, but he's also...
But he's definitely arrogant.
Yeah. But we pick up directly where that left off, with Peter being shocked at Mary Jane's good looks.
Yeah, because he was like, all right, I'll slug through this one. Because, you know...
I'll take one for the team, yeah. And then I'll go date Gwen.
Yeah, I'll just put this one on a back burner. What was the term he used? It was something like...
He looks like the Hulk or something
like that.
Yeah,
that was the one.
Probably looked like the Hulk.
And then he walked into the room and he's just literally like... Hubba,
hubba. Like Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's Tex Avery, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that dropping the jaw, hitting the floor, the eyes expanding.
Yeah, exactly like that. And she was just like, yeah. Oh, she's so cool. And yeah. And Peter's just like, yeah, this dame is the one.
Well, shall we get into issue 43 then?
Yep, let's rock.
Rhino on the rampage. So last issue, the Rhino, who was hired, I assume, by the Russians, he was gassed in a lab. To keep him comatose.
Yeah, because he was after...
Well, the good old United States were operating on him, yeah. Basically.
They were essentially just looking at him on the slab going, is this a man in a rhino suit or a rhino who swallowed a man?
Well, the artwork always depicts him as like a very large, chunky toddler.
Yes.
He's just, like baby fat around the legs that collects around the egg, legs and the butt. He's got that. Really he's does. A dumpy.
Just want a pigeon. So cute.
But the United States have been experimenting and analysing the rhino to find out his strength. The gas, it didn't work. The rhino's broken out. They're already shooting at him. The first option is to shoot him directly in the stomach, and it doesn't work.
I think the thing is, what we've established thus far is that no walls can contain the rhino. Like, the walls that were built specifically to keep Mexicans out of America, rhino was just like, yeah, see you later, straight through them. Like, I'd imagine rhino would make his way through a buffer. Like, so the...
Yeah, and you know those fucking Americans, they're going to be building the highest bastard wall they can.
Oh, yeah.
But like the worst reason possible. But no, he will go through it.
Yeah, so they keep him in a bricks and mortar police station, which we've already established would not stop the rhino anyway. The only thing that can stop a rhino is a McDonald's drive-thru.
It doesn't really stop him. He just goes through.
Yeah, but he directs him. He knows that he can only make those 90-degree turns like Tron.
Oh, yeah, he will never stop, but you can stop him if you keep him running in perpetual... Put him on a hamster wheel. Make him power the entire thing.
If you get, like, enough McDonald's drive-thrus together in a circle, he will constantly be just going round the circle. He'll eventually hit light speed, and then that's how we get Cold Fusion. I mean, we could use this.
I've noticed in this art, when the rhino breaks out, he hits the door frame so hard that the door frame bends. And I know the door frame is usually one of the strongest structures because people take to stand in it when there's an earthquake. This motherfucker's bent it.
It kind of looks like you know when there's like a comedy filmed in front of a live audience, and then like one of them just comes in and goes, "Oh boys," and then the whole audience goes, and that's what this panel looks like.
But what's really happening is the doctor's screaming, "The fucking tranquilizer! That didn't fucking work! Get the gun! Get the gun!" Bang, 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 and the rhino's screaming.
His hide is as tough as ever! My shells don't even slow him down!
If this was a modern-day gritty reboot, a Netflix series, there would be blood everywhere.
Rhino would not stop. Like,
you know, this is the first episode of the first season of Daredevil Series 1. If you ain't seen it, that's cool. The Kingpin...
Just told our listeners to suck eggs, man.
There's three seasons of it. You know what I mean? It's three True. Seasons. The Kingpin crushes a gazer's head.
It's gritty as fuck as well because he doesn't stop at one door slam either.
You know the rhino would be spearing someone. Yeah. You know, like phase two Freezer?
Yes, when he's Krillin's on his horns.
Phase three Freezer. I don't know. It's phase two because phase three.
No. It's phase three because... Yeah, I swear it's phase three because phase two is just a slightly bigger usual Freezer.
This is the dorkiest fucking conversation.
No. We've had some rock fucking doozies.
This is the worst fucking one. But it's one of the faces of the Freezer with the horns on the head and it's spearing Krillin, and that is the rhino. It's the exact thing.
Well, wasn't it Untold Talks of Spider-Man podcast that said like we basically quantify the Amazing Spider-Man story using anime and movie references.
Someone said that. I think that is that's very true. I mean, our knowledge of the former is quite limited considering how much you like rely on it. But it's just Dragon Ball Z and maybe Death Note and that Naruto. I think three, that's it.
I watched Full Metal Alchemist.
There you go. But the rhino, he cracks on through that door. They're trying to stop him. There's bullets everywhere. The dude is like an angry toddler woken up from a nap.
Just after some titter.
Storming around the fucking kitchen. Do you know there's flour everywhere? There's like chocolate all over his head.
Yes, I know exactly. Just dribble as far as I can see.
And we've kind of played him up a bit. We've always said, oh, he's this amazing Russian like assassin. What if he's just a massive actual toddler? Like, he doesn't even speak Russian. He's just like gurgling, putting his hand in the fucking Nutella jar and wiping it over his head.
At this rate, I would not put it past Stan Lee to write that character.
But that's how you stop him. Get two of the biggest vats of chocolate pudding and get him to stick both fists in it.
Or an absolutely gigantic rattle.
Because he runs like a toddler. Do you remember when a toddler builds up a head of steam and they're kind of just like, there was so much mass.
It's just pure momentum. Like, and he just fucking face plants whenever he needs to stop.
That's exactly him. So the Rhino is out of his holding facility and he's heading to cause a scene, and he wants to bring down the bloke who put him in the facility, of course, the Amazing Spider-Man.
That makes sense.
At the Daily Bugle, news of Ned Leeds. Now, this is something that's glossed over really quickly in this comic book. News of Ned Leeds' engagement to Betty Brant.
You know, I'm happy for him. If Ned feels like he could lose his face at any point in time, then I'm happy for him.
The news is quickly glossed over. I mean, you might be happy. J. Jonah Jameson, of course, the editor of the newspaper, doesn't care. He storms in and puts everyone to work.
He kind of just... He would be pissed off that, like, two people would have to have days off work at the same time.
You got to share your... You got to share your fucking money.
He's got to, like, unshackle them from their desks.
You mean two people can have the same bank account?
He's like, you have feelings?
Okay, so J. Jonah Jameson tells the staff to go get Peter Parker because he needs photos of the Rhino. Where's
Man,
Peter?
News travels fast.
Where is Peter? Peter, of course, is lost in the eyes of Mary Jane Watson.
I'd be lost in those eyes because I wouldn't know which one they're fucking looking at. Literally. Seriously. John, what are you playing at, mate? You had, like, one job.
He has put one eye in the corner. One pupil is in the corner of one eye. And one pupil is in the corner of the other.
I see what you did there. And also over there. No, to be fair, if it was actually wrote that Mary Jane had a lazy eye, I would feel better about my lazy eye. So I hope that's like a genuine thing and not just an artist fuck up. It's like she's she's looking at Aunt May and Peter Parker at the exact same time.
What if she's just this... incredible being with the power of the old gods, and she can manipulate both sides of her brain at once, so she can operate as two different beings within the singular.
Like, she can write Latin with one hand and Arabic in the other.
Yeah, very much like that.
I think we're giving her too much credit.
Instead of writing Latin, she's calling Pete Dad.
Oh no, no. Oh,
fuck. So Mary Jane's at the table, and she's enamoured with Pete. She says, I never thought a tiger who wore his hair so short could be so, so dreamy. And you've got a bouncing bike too, Dad. You're the end. I don't get that, Brad. I'm not feeling
all
that.
All the sentences together compiled to make one fucking nightmare.
I don't... Where?
I've never heard the term bouncing bike, and I can confirm... Having a motorbike will never, ever, 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 ever get you a girl. Ever. You just look like a fucking Power Ranger.
Well, she's like the most vibrant person that's ever stepped in foot in this household. She's struck by Pete, and they're taken to each other. So they go off to tell each other their life stories in front of the TV. She puts on the TV, and she's like, oh, shit, that's our song, and just starts dancing, and Pete's just like, holy fuck. She's a live wire. She's on ecstasy, mate.
Oh, you fucking know it.
She's ketted up.
While living doll, she makes everything seem like a party.
That's because the party never stops. The party never stops with Mary
Jane.
There's
some sweet, sweet Mary Jane about.
The TV with the song the band on is interrupted by a newsflash of the Rhino. Mary Jane, she's upset, but then she comes with an idea. Whoa, wouldn't it be cool, Pete, if we could go see the Rhino in person?
All right, so she's a fucking psychopath as well. She actively wants to die.
Well, a lot of people are actually gathering to just watch the Rhino tear shit up, so this is quite, like, this is a common thing.
I suppose back in the day, there's not much to do. You know, What's this?
Yeah, you can sit with your aunt and her old pal eating fucking beans, or you can go and watch the TV and watch some shit black and white song get cut.
So this
out.
Is the '60s, so it's after World War II, so it's like we're just getting out of the recession. Just so there's not much to do for free. You might as well watch the Rhino fuck some shit up.
Yeah. So Pete can't believe his luck. He's like, whoa, she actually wants to go see the Rhino, whereas anyone else I've ever been with would be crying on the floor. Pete, he's really happy. He gets his motorbike going. Mary Jane hops on the back, and they go tracking down the Rhino.
Fair play.
I'm happy. That's so cool.
Yeah, that is like...
I think that's genuinely fucking awesome.
Like, only just met this bird, and he's just like, already got her on the back of his motorbike. Already going...
This is within half an hour.
Half an hour.
This is within half a fucking hour.
The thing is like, Pete's like, genuinely head over heels, already, like, instantly, just thunderstruck by her.
This motherfucker thinks he's like Charlton Heston or Clint Eastwood now. Our attention switches to Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson.
Jesus Christ.
This is a real quick transition.
Ever since John Romita came on board, the story jumps. Fucking jumps, man.
If you remember correctly, Foggy Nelson was drafted in to defend the Rhino in court because Matt Murdock was off fighting a mechanical owl as Daredevil.
Yeah, I think we discussed this and was like, that definitely sounds like that's better great. Comic. Like, I'd rather be reading that.
Like, but Matt Murdock's secret identity as Daredevil is secret. No one knows. So he's trying to like act like he's not pissed off that he didn't get to defend the Rhino in court.
So he could put him away.
Yeah, no, defend him.
Why would you want to defend him?
I don't get it.
Oh.
I don't get it. Right.
Makes no sense, but we'll roll with it.
Well, I try to free him, and then Foggy's all fucked off. He's like, well, he escaped, so I'm wishing the court picked you, Matt. And Matt's like, well, Foggy, it would have been cool, I guess, to defend an animal in court, but you took that chance away from me, didn't you?
You took that chance away from me like those toxic chemicals took my sight, Foggy.
Foggy's drinking hard as well. You know he's leaning up a bar, just fucking thinking, oh, that's another one, guy. He says, I wish the court had appointed you, Matt, to represent him instead of me. And Matt Murdock just thinks, yeah, I think that's true.
What a fucking self-certified prick, man.
Meanwhile, the rampaging Rhino is monologuing on his past, conveniently, because we've been debating this, bro.
Oh, thank
you. And it's pretty
boring. Thank God that we actually get an origin story of the Rhino.
So, he's a henchman. He was a guinea pig for a mercenary espionage group. They plan to make him like a brainless, stupid, strong assassin.
I mean, he's kind of already there, but sound.
Okay. A molecular adhesive suit was applied to give him the strength of a rhinoceros and also dumb him the fuck down. It didn't dumb him down.
Right, so they could have made this suit any shape. It wasn't like he skinned a rhino. They literally went, you know, it'd be really funny if we made it into a rhino shape. That makes no sense.
This was all just banter, I think. From the images, these two fucking agents... He's so ugly, the Rhino is. He's so fucking ugly.
Do you reckon this was a piss take of, like, Ditko's art style? Because he literally frog-faced.
I think he's trying to copy it. Like, not copy it, but I think he's taking a lot from it because that was Spider-Man.
Yeah. But
the Rhino is he's disgustingly ugly.
Look, he looks like he wants to tend to the rabbits.
His head... It's like no head I've ever seen on a man.
He does look like a 7 foot tall toddler. Like, you know when... No, but you know when like toddlers haven't quite grown into their head yet?
But they've just dragged him in and they're just like, oh, this is banter. We'll put him in a fucking rhino suit, make him stupid, and then he'll be the world's strongest assassin. He'll work for us.
I wouldn't have thought an assassin would do great being so large. I'd think that assassin would look better... Not so much look better, but work better being able to blend into a crowd.
You say that, this bloke can just run through a wall and punch someone's head to death and run off.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. That's...
What I'm thinking is, Brad, why don't you just make a fucking robot?
We've seen how that works. We've seen how that works already, and it does not work well.
They see how this works, because what they forgot was they didn't dumb him down enough. His intelligence actually increased, and he's like, I'm not going to fucking work for you guys. I'm going to work for myself and sell myself to the highest bidder.
See, that's where you go wrong, man. This is how Jameson shackles them to desks. What you got to do, you got to break the spirit. You got to do, man. You got to make them feel like they can't go anywhere else first. And then they're your employer for life.
A crowd has gathered to watch the Rhino kind of kick off. Mary Jane and Peter pull up on the bike. And Pete says, Mary Jane, can you look after the motorcycle and watch the Rhino? Because I've got to do my job. Got to go take photos of him.
To be fair, MJ hits him with the tell Rhino to say cheese, Peter. And that is fucking good.
And this dumbass in the crowd is like pointing, you know, the loudest fucking person there, saying the most stupidest thing. He said, if I was in charge, I'd toss a fucking A-bomb at him from the roof.
There's always that one fucking guy, though, isn't there? There's always that.
It wouldn't you reckon
Billy
would
Big Bollocks that is just like, oh, if that was me, I would have fucked him up, innit? That kind of prick.
He's saying, I'd toss an A-bomb. So, yeah, that's to kill the Rhino, kill everyone.
You know what? He's just hungry for Fallout 76. That's what it is.
It's just like, we tested here. We can fucking deploy it on the Russians. I'll be a fucking...
He's just saying, like, I'll deliver it myself. Like, it rips open.
Yeah. You know, like Dr. Strangelove fucking whooping and hollering on the bottom.
The geezer just straight up fucking calms him the fuck down as well. He's just like, could be that's why you're not in charge. Just... outright fucking shuts him down. It's just like, Dave, you've had too much to drink again. That's why you're not in charge.
You know the angry bloke as well after this is like, you fucking what?
You what, mate?
Pete obviously takes his chance to dress up as Spider-Man, sets his camera up, and off he goes to confront the Rhino.
That crotch height camera.
No, he's set it up. He's put his wide-angle lens on. He's strapped it on the wall.
What happened to his belt camera
thing? Ain't seen this in a while, have we?
No, we've not. It's along with the bat signal. Sorry, the spider signal.
Oh, yeah. Wrong comic.
It's because no one ever talks about the spider signal. This is one thing that genuinely, like, confused me to fuck when we started this series. It was like, where did this come from? Like, I've never, ever heard of this in my life. I've never seen it in any of the popular, you know, pop culture references to Spider-Man, and it's never turned up. And I think I know why.
That's true. Why the fuck? It's so cool. It's so stupid. It's like, it's not a tool that really serves him. It's like, hi, I'm here.
This is a battle cry, isn't it? Like, with Batman, it kind of makes sense because it's just like, it is a reminder that this city is overlooked by the Guardian of the Batman. But Spider-Man is just like, literally, he shines it, and then the fucking, as the robbers are robbing, they just go, ah, oh, fuck, and then they get their head caved in.
He hasn't used it in a while, though.
No.
I haven't seen it in a while. So he and the Rhino get into a big scrap, with Spidey doing his best to lay the big, he knows how to knock the Rhino out, and all you have to do to knock the Rhino out is throw everything you've got at him.
Like, Everything.
But the Rhino's ready.
Well, the Rhino knew exactly, like, last time his objective was to get to John Jameson. This time his objective is to fucking kill Spider-Man.
So he just starts off by giving the two-fist slap to Spider-Man, punches him into a backflip.
Fucking hell.
And then he does a stance. He gets stanced up, points at him. Charges into him. Spider-Man jumps over and slams his head into the ground. Just concussion.
he did this last time though, and that did KO him. That did him in.
Then, and I'm so upset that this didn't work, is Spider-Man, when the Rhino charges at him, the attack that Rhino does, he charge, he lines up like an oil drum, and the Rhino runs into the entire oil drum.
He's like Rhino in a can. That's how you get fossil fuel, mate.
Spider-Man's pretty happy with that until the Rhino just tenses and destroys the can.
Tears it right up.
And chucks it at Spider-Man.
This is not going smoothly for Spider-Man, is it? This is literally the hardest fight he's had with the Rhino thus far. Because we've all played the Spider-Man games where the only thing you have to do to defeat Rhino is let him run into something 3 or 4 times, beat him up after he's dazed, and then you're done.
Take his horn off and shove it up his ass.
Inca?
The Rhino breaks out onto the street, mate, where he knows Spider-Man will have to really put himself on the line because the public's in danger.
I don't understand where recently Spider-Man's got this sense of justice from. Is it...
You just got to kick his ass, man. Kick his fucking ass.
Yeah, it's just fucking web him up, man.
You find anything you can and fuck him up.
If it was me...
Well, webbing doesn't work. You web him up before he just goes, oh, fuck off. And just tenses and breaks.
If it was me, man, I would have been like... whole entire down the other end of the street. One web on the one side, one web on the other. Just fucking pull yourself back like a motherfucking slingshot and shoot yourself like some sort of spider bullet.
What I'll do, just make a big trampoline, let him run into it and hopefully bounce him to the moon.
It's a good idea. But then imagine if Rhino went to space, got infected with the space steroids, came back down to Earth, stopped off for a McDonald's, because that's what we know he was about, and then came back to fight Spider-Man. Could you imagine how strong he'd be then?
Fuck.
Mate, he'd just be roid raging left, right, and center. You're like, you know when Trunks gets too big in Dragon Ball Z? He can't even move. He'd be like that.
That's what we want to happen. Just make him more muscular. Just
start feeding him like protein shakes and that. Just get him so big, he's just one round muscle.
Well, Spidey gets caught off guard in the fight, and he gets knocked clean out when the Rhino charges at him.
He's like a rop. I've never heard that in my life. I don't understand how that's a sound effect, but...
Is that rop or bop?
No, it's definitely a rop, because the R stops. It's kind of... It's hard to tell, because he is right behind Rhino, but it's definitely not a bit.
From my understanding is... Spider-Man's a bit knackered. Rhino's not knackered.
At all.
And Rhino pretends that he's kind of off and just leaps at him and that catches Spider-Man out and puts him straight down. Rhino carries on running straight into a truck with building materials on. They fall on Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's not looking too crisp at this point. He's really, really at, like, to phrase it the way how Spider-Man said, he says, I can't get up yet. Feel like I ran into a stone wall. Like, he's just fucking... Have you ever watched a video of, like, an Irish geezer that's completely off his tits? And, like, he's trying to walk up a hill, but he's also rolling down the hill at the same time. And he's just flopping left, right, and centre. Like, Spider-Man literally looks like a bag of dirty washing. He's just flopping left, right, and centre.
So all these building materials fall on him and he can't move. And this is it. But a police van actually drags him out the way.
Really, they're fucking lucky as well, because Rhino has not stopped throughout this whole shebang. Only 90 degree turns again. So he has to, like, 90 degree turn, left, run all the way up the street, 90 degree, 90 degree, and then all the way down the street again.
Very suited to the way American cities are laid out.
Actually, I think we picked up on this on one of the last Rhino episodes where it was like, Rhino should be a rook in chess because he can only move in straights. Was it Dr. Spidey who got back to us and was like, we was very disappointed because it wasn't Rhino as the rook?
I was fucking furious.
Who was it? Was it Kraven or someone like that?
It doesn't matter because it's not the Rhino.
It's irrelevant.
I would accept Bishop because it's diagonal straight line.
It's a good point. Also 90 degrees.
I'll accept nothing less. No, push come to shove, Queen. Push come to shove, I'll accept the Queen. I will not...
Ah, he's not agile enough to be a Queen.
I will accept it, though. Accept it as a one-off. But he weren't even fucking that. Truth be told, I don't even think he was in it.
That's even more upsetting, really.
But I digress. Spider-Man's life actually saved by a policeman. He was dragged clear. And the Rhino just fucks off. He went, I've seen that shit. Spider-Man's done. I'm going to go kidnap John Jameson.
But he didn't finish the job. Like, Rhino's so sure he did. He's finished the job, but he's not.
He's just walking as well. He's just like,
He's like, he's literally like
he's a calm down. He's like, just stomping off, like, really calmly. But Spider-Man, no, he's coming to his senses. He grabs his camera. He's like, thank God I got some fucking photos of that. At least it's worth something.
If it weren't for New York's finest, Spider-Man would be dead.
Yeah, they're doing their job for fucking once.
Yeah, that officer's fucking earned his paycheck because he's dragging Spider-Man about.
I guarantee it comes out in a future issue that he's a fucking rape, like a racist. Something coming, Brad, with this police officer. But no, Spidey, he gathers his camera, gathers his equipment, but he notices, hey, there's a bit of Rhino's damaged suit here. I'm going to take this shit. I want to see what I can find out.
I'm going to science this thing.
He heads back to the motorcycle where, of course, Mary Jane was. She assumes that Pete didn't get the photos because she didn't actually see him get any photos. He just ran off. He says, yeah, I did. And MJ says, can you drop me back off at mine? But she rhymes like most things she says. She says, shall we ride, Clyde?
That again?
Fuck off. I've seen it. No. She just says it out of nowhere as well. It's like, oh, that's pretty clever, Dad.
Pretty clever, Dad.
It's not even like Daddy-O or shit like that.
He's literally just straight up D-A-D, Dad.
Next time she's going to go like, thanks for dropping me off home, Father. Where's this coming from?
It's a different time, man. She was obviously just a groovy chick.
Pretty clever, Dad. It doesn't even sound right in her, like, voice.
Is that her voice?
Or, like, what I'd imagine, what I imagine her voice is. It does not sound right in any voice you could possibly do.
Because the thing is, as well, is that they're clearly trying to draw up some kind of sexual tension between MJ and Pete. But it's really not working. It's horrific to look at. Genuinely pains me.
Yeah, it's quite odd. They seem like they almost work better friends at the moment because it's.
And the thing is like MJ just doesn't give a fuck. Like she's openly flirting with Pete in front of like her aunts and that. She's fucking desperate.
She don't give a fuck, and Pete is like, "Oh God, oh my God, my collar. Oh God, it's getting hot under here."
Literally, what Pete's like.
If he's sweating in all that suit, he's just drenched. Guy's wearing a fucking sweater vest as well.
He's always in that Sunday best, man.
And he drops MJ off home and says, hey, I'd like my own fucking apartment, but I've got to worry about Aunt May. He calls a doll as well. That's the coolest thing Peter's ever said.
Eh, is that derogative nowadays?
I don't know. Is she calling him dad? I don't know. It's all up in the air with this, Brad. It really is all up in the air here. So he heads off to the Bugle to get paid. So he sells his photos to an ecstatic J. Jonah Jameson. Of course, he's banking on these photos. He overhears whilst he's there that Colonel John Jameson, who is J. Jonah's son, the bloke who's come back from space that the Rhino's after, has been transferred to a new medical facility that might not be as secure as the federal one he was in.
You know why? Because he's no longer fucking useful. Literally why. This is like John Jameson Jr. fucking came back from fucking space, roided out of their heads, and they're just like, we can use this. And then he loses powers after getting bopped on the head by Spider-Man. And he's just like, guys, I've lost my powers. And they're just like, to the recycle bin with you.
Do I not get the pension anymore?
No.
The 401k. Get that anymore.
Made redundant, mate. On the breadline.
No, that he's getting his bills paid for, but they've moved him to the new medical facility, which leaves him open for a hit from the Rhino.
And as we know, Rhino still hasn't been dealt with.
Nope. Pete, as Spider-Man, is going to deal with the Rhino. He takes a bit of the suit that he's got, Rhino's suit, has a word with his good friend, the former lizard, Dr. Curtis Connors. Dr. Kurt Connors? Curtis? I don't know.
Kurt, yeah. Well, Kurt Connors, is Kurt short for Curtis?
Who knows?
Kurt
short for dad?
Oh, God! when you say former friend, we are still assuming that Kurt Connors did just eat his family as the lizard and went, God damn it, never again.
He didn't eat his family. He tried to eat his family and then went off crying in the fucking swamp.
Right, it never actually got said. He just showed up again one day and he was just like, yeah, I'm not the lizard anymore. And he's just like, that's interesting. Where's your family?
Well, that's interesting, Dad, because the shit in the toilet's green. That's interesting, Dad, because there's a fucking entire human-sized lizard skin shedded across the floor. You've also got a fucking forked tongue and you don't eat with a knife and fork.
You're also suspiciously close with everyone in government.
And you eat eggs raw, whole, with the shells on. Don't even crunch them, you just swallow the whole thing.
Slow down your throat.
So it's his good friend, not his former friend, mate. These are good friends. He's the former lizard, the bloke who was the lizard. He hasn't been the lizard in ages, which is quite fucking unsettling.
Mm.
That's coming back. Connors performs an analysis. He's a super scientist. He performs an analysis on the suit fabric. And he actually says, mate, he's like, oh, it's a shame because, the lizard, I think he could beat the rhino.
What a prick.
And Spider-Man's just like, what the fuck? What the fuck did you just say?
I'm just imagining Spider-Man going up to Kurt, just wiping his hand on his nose. He's like, no.
You know when you got to get your mom to sign a permission slip for you to go on like a trip when you're at school? He has to sign a permission slip to Spider-Man. Can I be the lizard for 30 minutes today?
He's just like, Spider-Man, I miss having an arm.
Oh, he has to put, when he's eating like a normal person, he has to put the fork down and pick up the knife with his other hand. Oh, let him be, let him live, let him be him.
Like he just slams his head up against the desk with the fork in his other hand and just shovels it in. Like he's got to hold the chicken the chicken breast with his teeth. Whilst he's
he detaches his whole jaw and puts the entire rotisserie chicken in there.
Like a little bit at a time as well. It's not a comfortable thing to watch.
Oh God!
Takes him 30 minutes.
Just drive to school in silence. Mummy, I don't love Daddy anymore.
He's in the restaurant. He's still on his starter. His kids are on dessert.
Starter is raw everything. The rice is not cooked. The bread is not. It's the bread's flour.
Like a whole lobster.
Just licks it off the fucking. Oh, he's disgusting. I don't like him, but he dared hint that, hey, I was just thinking that, you know, if I was a lizard, I could help.
Right, hold on. I think we skipped over the best part about this. The very best part about it is that Connors is like, I was thinking, perhaps the lizard could defeat the rhino. And then Spider-Man's like, no! And then Connors is just like,
no!
And then Kurt Connors is just like, well, it's back to the test tubes then!
He's cooking some shit up.
Oh, you know he is. He's just so, just so defeated.
Well, Connors manages to cook up an upgrade for Spider-Man's webbing that will help out with the rhino. All in good time as well, mate, because the rhino is rampaging around the medical facility that's holding Colonel John Jameson.
Who would have thunk it?
Just as he's about to break Jameson in half, as the rhino is about to break Jameson in half, this, of course, is Colonel John Jameson, not J. Jonah Jameson, Spider-Man crashes through the window and covers Rhino in the upgraded webbing, which is not a euphemism at all.
At all. Not in the slightest.
The webbing doesn't break. It's stronger, but it doesn't stop the Rhino kind of tearing shit up. They have to take their little scrap outside after the rhino charges through a second fucking story floor going straight outside.
I'm just imagining, like, you know, Wile E. Coyote? Like when he jumps off of the fucking the cannon and then he like, holds the sign.
His legs are still scrambling.
Yes! Just like a rhino-shaped hole in the concrete underneath.
Now, he hits a deck, and the webbing is still on him. Like, Spider-Man's just been dodging him the entire time. And Rhino just
It looks worse now, because it just looks like Rhino's in, like, a full body stocking.
And that, if he was, mate, he's screaming so much about how it's burning him.
Oh, that's not good.
It's dissolving his Rhino suit.
Mate, I don't feel like this is, like, chemically tested, mate. I think the lizard literally got your acid webs.
No, it takes his suit off, man. It fucking takes his skin off.
Just melting him down to the bone.
It's like everything. It's melting.
Just chubby little baby Rhino. Just fucking standing there, all fucking like plump and shit in the middle of this park. Just going, no.
The best thing Spider-Man says as well, he says, I had a hunch you were wearing an artificial covering. The only problem was finding a way to melt it off. You fucking thought he was a real rhinoceros.
Mate.
What does that
mate,
mean?
Mate, it doesn't take a fucking genius to think, like, you didn't need the lizard to come along and tell you just to get acid. Could have done tar. Could have done anything hot. Just...
You could have super glued his feet to the floor.
Oh, yeah. You could have just gave him a bucket of paste and he would have happily ate it until he died.
He's screaming about everything melting and the rhino just begs for mercy.
That's so fucked because the rhino is literally like, no, no, wait, stop, no. And then Spider-Man just rocks his fucking jaw.
No, that's not just all of it. Spider-Man's running at him as fast as he can, ready to deliver a superhuman punch whilst calling him fucking ugly.
Yeah, he says a beauty contest winner, you ain't.
Yeah, no wonder you covered your fucking
head. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of geese in the background going, oh!
All whilst this is happening, the rhino is, please don't, stay back, don't hit me. I've not got my armor on, please. And then Spider-Man knocks him out and fucking runs off.
One and done.
Because the police turn up. J. Jonah Jameson turns up. And J. Jonah Jameson actually tries to sue Spider-Man.
Why?
That's why. The rhino's been put on his ass. The federal agents are there. He's arrested again. Spider-Man heads home. As he heads home on his bike this time, I don't know why he heads home on the bike. Why not just swing home? Why not just fucking swing home?
To be fair, I can kind of imagine that swinging would tucker you out. Like,
but I've also got to imagine riding the bike to the rhino, getting changed, then fighting the rhino is a lot tougher than simply going to the rhino in your suit and fighting it.
I gotta agree.
Because what if the rhino stumbles onto you when you're on a bike and he's like, ah, fucking vehicle, I'll run through it.
I think we're giving Peter too much credit here.
Yeah. Okay, so he rides home on his bike and he bumps into his mates. He bumps into Harry Osborn, Gwen Stacy, and Flash Thompson. They're out discussing Flash's big news.
Oh?
Flash Thompson will likely no longer be at Empire State University much longer because he has been called in to report for the war draft.
Ooh. What's
that? He's going to Vietnam.
Going Nam?
He's going Nam. They're all kind of talking about it and that he's going to miss university. He's got a report for the physical. Pete wishes him good luck. And Flash, he's a bit odd. He's like, the war's not going to get won without me. The people like this, mate, they get put on the front lines. They get shot straight in the head.
Literally just going out there to be like churned, mate.
He's front line, mate. Cannon fodder.
You know what? I do genuinely feel sorry for anyone that's ever been called up for the draft because you have to put your future on hold.
And this boy's fucking loving it.
Oh, yeah, because he gets to be back in high school and he's just like, I'm getting treated physically, yeah! Because don't forget, he's in university because he got through on a sports scholarship, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, like, he's just like, he just likes the idea of wrestling with the other men in the bunks.
And what Flash says, can you picture Puny Parker in the army? Imagine Spider-Man leading in the army. That would not stand a fucking chance.
I don't know, man. Like, not many buildings to swing around in Vietnam.
Lots of trees.
They're in the trees, man!
Yeah. Flash Thompson is going to be in Full Metal Jacket. I do feel terribly sorry for him. But he's loving it. The character's loving it. What's really going to happen, he's going to come back and he's going to have a fucking miserable life.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not going to end well.
PTSD is no laughing matter.
Vietnam as well, fucking hot, humid jungles, people coming out of fucking everywhere, napalm fire, yeah, and horrible thing scenes.
Is, look at how happy he is to be going, and he's going to come back, and everyone's going to be like, you're a fucking war criminal, you didn't have to go there, what the fuck you're doing? Because, like, there's...
Imagine he comes back with no legs or something as well. Imagine how shit people were after winning wars. Like, this is one that, arguably... they don't win. It's kind of just like...
Yeah. It's, it weren't really...
Not like they lose, but it's like fucking... Yeah. And then he comes back and everyone hates him. He hates himself and he's probably been shot and maimed.
Damn.
Yeah, you got to consider this shit. But he's at the moment, he's loving it. And, you know, the sliding timeline is this would be Iraq, I guess, they're on about.
Yeah.
Or a war going on now. One of men... He'd probably be fucking off to peacekeeping the Ukraine or something. Some shit. But he's been drafted up, he's been selected, and he's off, and he's quite happy about it. Pete wishes him good luck, but he's quite disheartened. Flash is off to war. They've never buried the hatchet. He's still taking the piss. And he's hurt that Gwen Stacy has just sat and watched him get ridiculed all this time. And would Mary Jane Watson have stood for that? He thinks not.
I'm sorry, no, but...
Mary Jane would be ripping the shit out of you as well, my friend.
Dad. Yeah, well, the thing is with Gwen Stacy's, her character, flip-flops like no man's business. Like, first she's into Peter, and now she's not into Peter, and then they go out on a date, and then she's into Peter again. And it's just, from one comic to the next, she's either hot or cold, and there's no in-between.
Indeed. Pete's life is about to get harder, because no surprise there. But he goes home. He's been living the high life for the last few weeks, to be fair. But he comes home to a very ill Aunt May. Of course, she's ill again. The reason why is, after being prescribed medication for her recent ailments, she's run out because she can't actually afford anymore.
Meanwhile, Peter's gone out and fucking bought himself a motorcycle that he don't fucking need. He's not even bought him, and he's financed it.
He's bought something he can't afford whilst his aunt literally dies.
Peter Parker, everyone. What a man.
To be fair, very American of it, because someone is dying because they cannot afford fucking medication.
Good point.
Which should be free. I don't think it's very political for me to say that a fucking box of pills shouldn't cost a grand. Or even fucking 40 quid.
Well, wasn't there something pence? Like some life-changing medicine for AIDS sufferers? That a geezer bought and was like, so, yes, we're going to fucking throw the price of this through the roof.
Yeah, that shit I do, fuck it. Didn't he get jailed or something? He bought the fucking unreleased Wu-Tang Clan album and went, nah, I'm not going to fucking release this, lads. My album. My album now.
I kind of respect that. I hate him, but I do kind of respect that.
It's like when Elon Musk tried to change, and I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's stupid, and it backfired incredibly. Elon Musk tried to change the stock price of Tesla, I think, to 420. And he got forced out of his company for that.
I did not know that. I thought he got kicked out because he blazed it.
No, he pretended to blaze it. He was like, "No, he's the biggest dickhead in the entire world."
Oh, bro, this has been a fucking episode and a half.
That's over, mate. Yeah, no, the rhino's been locked up. Mary Jane Watson has left an imprint on Peter Parker's heart. Flash going to war.
Flash is going to war.
He ain't coming back.
Well, we don't know that.
He ain't coming back, mate. No, no one like Flash Thompson is surviving in that war, mate.
Mate, he might survive. Oh, I'm holding hopes out, man, because I just think that... I think that Flash is just a troubled individual who's never really got his shit out.
There's definitely going to be a backstory where he's, like, battered by his dad or something.
Oh, you fucking know it.
I can see that coming. Like, he's just got a really troubled childhood. He's going to war. I think next time the lizard's back.
Oh, God.
Kurt, are you taking the formula?
No! Is it?
No!
In the corner, just shoveling it into his mouth with no open palm.
His hands turn into a claw. No!
That is Lizard's voice from now on. It's fucking brilliant. Beautiful. Do we have any housekeeping?
You can find us at Spidey Podcast if you'd like to abuse us about the nature of this episode. You can leave a review. Hopefully it's not one stars. And ideally we'll get back to form when the comic book does.
Can someone buy us a Amazing Spider-Man chess set so we can play it? Because I really want to play that and rant about how the rhino is not the rook. We can evaluate each and every piece and tell you why it's wrong. It's amazing.
But yeah, that's it this week. We'll catch you next week when the lizard returns. That's Brad. I'm James. Find us at Spidey Podcast. We'd love to hear off you. And yeah, see you soon, guys. Goodbye.
See you very soon.